Harvesting technology to cover for the growing shortage of farm workers. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy, and I'm Jack Stewart in for Molly Wood. As it turns out, there are jobs where a human touch is, or has been, irreplaceable. Fruit and berry picking is a good example. Soft, delicate fruits must be assessed for ripeness and then gently plucked without smooshing them in a vice-like grip. But in Britain, one looming effect of Brexit is a shortage of cheap human labour, and that spawned a new flurry of interest in robots that can do the job.
So you see that it's reaching the stem, and now the gripper cutter will both cut the stem and grip the strawberry.
That's Dr. Vishu Mohan at the University of Essex. Marketplace's London Bureau Chief Stephen Beard went to see his robot in action.
This is definitely very difficult territory for robotics. These aren't repetitive movements in a highly structured environment as you would get in a car plant. The environment with fruit growing is very unstructured. The robot's got to find the fruit through a mass of leaves, so it needs stereoscopic cameras to give it a 3D image. It assesses the ripeness of the fruit by measuring its wavelengths on the visible spectrum. It needs to deal with fruit of different shapes and sizes, and there's machine learning going on here. So it is pretty difficult.
Do these robots move with any sort of speed? I'm kind of imagining them shooting up and down these rows of fruit, you know, arms flinging, grabbing berries, filling baskets.
Well, they can do that, but they wouldn't be very effective. I mean, they cannot pick as well as humans yet. They're getting there, but they're picking more slowly than humans, but they can work much longer. So what they lack in speed, they make up for in stamina. An average human raspberry picker can collect 15,000 berries in an eight-hour day. The robot can harvest 25,000 in a 20-hour day. So slower but harder working. Robots also can pick at night, which is not so easy for humans. And that's better for the fruit because they've been picked at lower temperatures so they could be chilled more easily.
How does the cost of these machines work out? I'm guessing they're expensive to buy, but do they balance out over their lifetime?
Well, this probably is the major stumbling block in the path of this technology. The Belgian company Octinion, which is probably the most advanced of the European robot developers, won't say exactly how much they cost, which is never a good sign. They say the cost is comparable with the cost of human picking, but I've heard a lot of suggestions that one of these robots could cost as much as $130,000. So that would be a very hefty price to pay. What Octinion says is that they offer a complete package. They offer to rent out the equipment. But one fruit grower that I spoke to said that he didn't expect robots to become widespread in the UK or Europe until another decade at least.
Stephen Beard, our man in the UK, on the robots revolutionising farming. And now for some related links. Automation in farming doesn't just have to mean robots. There are other ways that tech continues to infiltrate agribusiness. Here in the US, drones can help with monitoring crops, checking for hydration levels so that watering schedules can be adjusted dynamically. They can even spray pesticides. And autonomous tractors and harvesters could do the monotonous back-and-forth driving over miles of fields. Forbes looks into this in detail and says that it's bringing the high-tech West Coast and the rural Rust Belt together. As farming tools become increasingly software-dependent, that old question of who actually owns them is cropping up again. Farmers have started hacking their tractors as manufacturers like John Deere basically lock them down to stop what they would call unauthorized repair work. The farmers that Vice interviews say when something breaks down, they can't always get to a dealer and they don't necessarily want to pay for that. I'm Jack Stewart and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.